what we're going to be fasting for over the next 50 days. How many of you are familiar with what we've done with the word love? L-O-V-E. The L stands for, the O for, the V for, and the E. Well, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take that word, L-O-S-T, and I'm going to leave lost, lost, but I'm going to change the other ones just for today. So over the next 50 days, I want us to pray for the lost. We came up with some very, very interesting statistics that within a 5-mile radius, look at this, within a 5-mile radius of Wildwood Baptist Church, there are 165,572 people. The overwhelming majority of them have no religious affiliation. Listen to this. 89,409, no religious affiliation at all. Not church members, 122,523. And not attending church, 147,359. Look at how they break down. 0 to 4 to the preschool, 14,585, 9%. 5 through 10th grade, 15,458, another 9%. 11 through 17, grade 6 through 12, 15,895, that's 10%. 18 to 29 years, 27,000. 30 to 39, 28,909. 40 to 49, 27,053. 50 to 59, 19,203. 60 to 69, 10,490. And 70 and up, 6,969. Over half of those folks don't go to anybody's church. More than half. And so I want us to pray for the lost. But now all of those faces get lost if we can't put names to them. Some of the folks you know who live within the 5-mile radius of this church, they're your friends, they're your coworkers. You go to school with them, they're students. We need you to pray for them. Get this, because this is a thing that we need to repent about. I've already said, God, forgive me of this. To this point in this church, this year, from October or from January till now, we've only baptized 25 people. That's unacceptable. And God forgive us for not having a heart for the lost. So what I want you to do in your days of fasting, ask God to give you opportunities. Knock on doors. Seek people out and have God send people to you who are lost. That you can begin to build a relationship with them. And share Jesus with them. L is for lost. O, I want to be for obedience. Because it's more than just about offering. It's about being obedient. On our way to church this morning, my wife looked at me and she said, Lord, Ricky, which is usually what she says. It's crazy, I know, but it's like, Lord, Ricky. And I'm like, yes. She said, Lord, Ricky, your glasses are awful. And she took them off of my face and cleaned them. You know, I've been wearing glasses now since I was in my 40s, and which is only a couple of years. But sometimes you wear them and you don't even know you're looking through dirty lenses. And you have to take them off and you have to clean them. I think there's some things that we have to clean out of our heart. I think God is calling our church to a life of yielded submission and obedience to Him. Especially is that true right now in our time of giving. Somebody recently said, boy, I hope the 2-hour service is not going to be about giving. To which I thought, man, that says much more about you than it does about our church. Much more about where your heart is and where it really, really needs to be. God needs to call us to obedience in our giving. Every week, our offering calls for $39,000. Usually, the first Sunday in the month, if it's not a holiday weekend, we will meet that. And every other one, we're low. I know last week, we were in the hole right at $15,000 to $17,000. I'm simply asking you, in these days of fasting, will you fast and ask God to do a work of grace in your heart when it comes to giving? L-O-V, the V I want to be for victories. I want you to go back with me again to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. And some of the victories that I want us to pray for are found in that chapter, and it's why I didn't deal with them all a while ago. And I want to walk through these very carefully and very slowly, because there are some folks in here who are in different stages of your walk with God. And you need some victories in your life, and our church needs some victories in its life. Isaiah 58 and verse 6, he says, Is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen the bonds. Underline that. To loosen the bands or the bonds. I want you to fast for those who are bound by addictions. Drug addictions or alcohol addictions or sexual addictions. Because the church is filled today with men and women who stay way up too late on the computer looking at pornography. And so would you pray this prayer, Lord, in my fast, I pray for the loosening from addiction. Secondly, for the solving of problems. For he goes on there and he talks about the heavy bonds or the heavy burdens, to undo the bands of the yoke. Maybe your marriage is in shambles. I know that we're living in a community where marriages are in shambles. Maybe your nerves are frayed and tied in knots. God doesn't want us to walk in bondage. God wants us to walk in liberty. God wants us to walk in victory. I want you to pray for fasting. I want you to fast for revival and soul winning. Because he says there, to let the oppressed go free. I challenge you this week to pray, God, send some soul by me that I can share my faith with them and lead them to Jesus Christ. I want you to fast to conquer mental or emotional problems. To break every yoke. I've seen so many people stressed out in this time of economic downturn. Stressed out. And I want you to pray for God to give emotional freedom in lives. I want you to fast for physical needs. Several people in our prayer time said, Pastor, pray for me. There's cancer. And there are other physical issues that are plaguing our church. Would you pray for God to bring healing? And then would you pray for clear sight and decision making? And then would you pray for us that not only would we be a church that has needs, but that we could be a church that gives. Look at verse 7. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Pray that the glory of God would come in such a way that we would say, listen, we've got too much. Let's begin to give away what God has given us. Not only to the foreign field and the mission field, but right out our front door. To those who are homeless. To those who are hungry. For every child of God who has bread on his table, to be willing to share that with those who don't. For everyone who has something to drink, for those of us to be able to share with those that we don't. Pray over these next 50 days that God would give us liberty in our giving, not only to the ministry needs, which is great here at Wildwood, but in such a way that we will be able to give to others. Victory for victory for victory. And let's begin to share those week in and week out. And then finally, I want the E to stand for enhancement. Now, guys, I'm supposed to have a bunch of props. Do you know where they are? Okay, come here, Brother Steve. Hey, Alex, can you help him? You know those music people, you can't get them to do anything. We want to refresh and enhance this building. I hope some of you brought your painting clothes. It's not funny after an hour and a half, is it? Almost 2 hours. All right, God, Reverend, we got to get out. And we will eventually shut up. Several of you have already been up here and looked under the table to see if there's anything to eat or drink in there. We want to renovate our auditorium. And we've talked about this for a solid year. We want to renovate this auditorium. And so on October the 12th, we're going to have the end of our fast, the end of the 50 days. We're going to have an in-gathering. That's what this box is for. We're going to have an in-gathering where we're asking you over the 50 days of fasting that you get before God and you say, Father, what do you want me to give to the renovation program of the church? We need to start $130,000. And here's what that looks like. Marshall wrote this stuff down for me, so let me see. All right. A gallon of paint is $6. Now, don't you love this? Isn't this great? I feel like one of those guys on the infomercial. A gallon of paint is $6. We need $40,000 worth of paint. A roll of carpet is $100. Hey, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with this. I'm going to put this aside. We need $17,000 worth of paint. We need $40,000 worth of carpet. This is not the chair. Thank you, Jesus. But it's going to look like this with a different kind of, a different color on it. It's going to look like this. We need 750 of these chairs for this building alone. And those chairs, let me look again. I feel silly doing this, and you say you ought to see how you look doing it. You want to do. These chairs are $42 each. We need 750 of them. That's over $36,000. But why do we need that? Come here, Pastor Steve. Technically, Steve's going to tell you some of the things and some of the reasons why we need the stuff that's over here on the floor. I apologize for not doing a better job of that. Tomorrow, when we break all this down, you guys can whip me with a flog. Thank you.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Alex is going to be playing with this projector over here, bringing up something on the screen. And all of this stuff up here that we're talking about, we talked last year, about a year ago, about specifically some of the things that we were going to do regarding adding lighting and breaking away the stage and doing something different on this platform to be more usable for what we do. We talked about the fact that we would put in two side screen projectors, not what you see there, but something that would go up where the E33 banner is on either side. But here's really the important thing that we want, the message of this, of why it is that we're doing this. We want to get across to you today. If I were going to go to China, for example, and deliver the gospel message there, I would really want to have a Chinese Bible or tract with me, something in which I can hand out and use there. If I'm going to El Salvador, I'm going to take a Spanish language Bible. All that is I'm taking the message of the gospel itself, the story of redemption, and I'm putting it into the language that is spoken in the culture in which I'll be ministering to. One of the things that kind of happens with church is that in our effort to distance ourselves from what's happening in the world around us, we not only remove ourselves from it, but we forget what language is spoken in the world around us. So when we go out to share, we use the church language, the language we use inside of these walls. What do you mean by that, Steve? Well, in a world where everybody out there is trying to figure out what they need this week to get Vista to operate properly on their computer, they can come here and see Windows 78 in our technology. Those of you who own computers are laughing. Those of you who don't, turn to your neighbor and said, what did he just say? The bottom line is this. The language of the culture around us is a language that is filled with everything from BlackBerry to instant messaging. It's a language that is no longer, you remember when you don't remember, you weren't alive then, when the Gutenberg Press was invented, but you've heard about it. We've lived for a long time in what you would call a Gutenberg world, where the world was changed and the language of the world was changed by the fact that people could now read. Let me tell you that we no longer live in a Gutenberg world anymore. We live now in a Google world. And in a Google world, it is no longer about words, it's about images. It's no longer, even for us musically, it's no longer simply about notes on a page. It's about sounds. And we don't come in here and set lyrics to notes. We put images to sounds. And that's what we're trying to do. That's when we have stuff on the screen behind us when we're doing these songs, because that's the language of the culture that we're living in right now. And we want to use these tools, whether it's freshening up the building with paint. There are things on these walls that you haven't noticed because you've been here for a year. Bring somebody in who's never been here before and ask them, what do you see on the walls? And they'll probably say, looks like there's a hole right there that somebody patched up and never finished. Some of you have looked at that right now and you're thinking, oh, how long has that been there? And you joined Wildwood in 1984. And that's the first time you've noticed that. It's because we come in here and we immediately jump into the language of here. And we forget that there's a language spoken out there that we need to be translating the gospel into. The gospel message remains the same. The story of redemption does not change, but the language of the culture changes throughout the ages. And I want you to look at something here on this screen right here. And in the video booth, Donya and Carol, can y'all, without the audio, just roll any video we've seen already today? And while Alex is rolling this one over here, I want you to see what's coming up on the screen here. Just anything, doesn't matter. You can roll Terry's video again if you want. Or Leon. The language behind me right here is the language we've been speaking for a while. But the language over here is the language everybody outside of these walls will be speaking by February of next year. Because it's the digital HD language that everybody is going to have in their own home. They already have it on their computers. They have it in movie theaters, and now they're going to have it in their own homes. And that big projection non-HD television that you bought 6 years ago for $4,000, you will be lucky on Craigslist to get $50 for the parts for it, because that is a language that will no longer be spoken. And what we want to do is take what used to be here and turn it into this language. The message remains the same, but the tool by which we use to present it changes to fit the culture around us. How many of you here want to bring someone to church and then apologize for the fact that the gospel message was presented in a way without clarity? At the end of the day, we don't want anybody going out of here and saying they have really cool screens in that church. What we want to do is for people to walk out of here having encountered God without the distraction of having to take everything they see and translate it into something they used to speak a long time ago but haven't seen in a long, long time. I can remember the first car that I had a few years ago that did not have a cassette player in it. Anybody remember that? When you got a car that you had all those things on all your mixtapes on cassettes? And then you had to make the decision, am I going to buy this car that does not have, all it has is a CD player? How will I live without those cassettes? How many of you haven't played a cassette tape in 4 years? That's the language of the past. The language of the future are these tools that we're talking about. These tools cost money. I realize they do, and that's a large part of how it is that we're going to progress forward. But when it's all said and done at the end of the day, I don't want anything that we have failed to do in our presentation or communication become the distraction to someone's encounter with God. So make that a matter of prayer for you in your life, in your ministry here in this church, for us as we move forward with this renovation, that God give us the tools we need to speak the gospel in the language of those who hear it so that they'll hear it in their own tongue.
And how many of you remember the 8-tracks? We've kind of got an 8-track church. What we're looking for is just for God to walk through in our lives, that we can love the lost like He loves them, that we can experience the obedience that we found in Christ, that we can daily see victories, and that we can work in an environment of excellence, because grace always demands more than law. Grace always demands excellence. And we can live and move in a world where we're constantly giving praise to our God for the good things He's doing. I believe the next 50 days are going to be some of the most wonderful times in the life of this church. We want to hear from you and we want to pray with you about what God is doing in your life as you seek to be obedient to Him. As we end on October the 12th, we will have a time of celebration, an in-gathering where we take the monies that are given for the renovation. And with the renovation, not only are we going to have what Steve has spoken about so eloquently. It's not about the screens, et cetera, except when you don't have those things. But it's about the message of Jesus Christ and us doing it in a way of excellence, constantly seeking Him in a way of excellence. I'm going to ask you to bow with me and pray again, and then I'm going to ask our deacons to come as we prepare ourselves for the supper of table of our Lord. God, as we gather around this table, we do so that Jesus may be glorified. We do so in remembrance of Him and what He's called us to in His death and in His life. Thank you for this time that we can partake in the table of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.